And Kathy Dawes now with a couple of former Manhattan mayors with me, by the way. I remember them sitting at the microphone some years back, Bruce Sneed and Ed Klimak, and they are here representing the Vote Yes November 7th City of Manhattan Recreation and Trails sales tax question. And Bruce, you're going to tell us why you're supportive of this and maybe some of the background on, I think there's several mayors actually who've said that they're supportive of this.
Well, I served as the chair of the steering committee for the long-term strategic facilities improvement plan. So I've been involved with this for over 2 years in the development of the needs, the community survey to identify unmet needs. Ed is chair of the Parks and Rec Advisory Board, has been involved with the same effort and the same steering committee over this period of time. So we put in a lot of time to try and help shape this initiative to be responsive in the long term to the needs of the Manhattan community for recreation facilities and trails. And so I strongly believe this is in the best long term interest of the city. It doesn't increase the sales tax, just renews the quarter cent, which was very successful in funding our pools initiatives and the zoo education facility. Those bonds are being paid off ahead of time by the sales tax. And it provides indoor recreation facilities that are woefully needed in this community. We have really three small gyms available in terms of city facilities. So this puts in place in two different locations in the community significant indoor recreation facilities. It also provides for upgrades to all the Seco Park ball fields, tennis courts, trails, and in response to a strongly expressed need identified in the community assessment and survey work, trails improvements over the full 10-year period of the initiative. So I think it just represents a strong response to the needs of the community and an appropriate way to fund it. Sales tax is paid for not only by Manhattan residents, but everyone who comes to the community and spends money here. So probably 25% or more of the sales tax revenue from this initiative comes from people who don't live in Manhattan but take advantage of our resources, facilities, and services. So to me, it just makes a lot of sense. And the long-term approach is also fund this using temporary notes so that all $27.5 million generated over 10 years goes for the facilities, and we minimize the financing costs of bonds and issuing bonds. If we issued $25 million worth of bonds up front, we'd probably spend $6 or $7 million on the financing costs. And if we do it with temporary notes and stage the facilities and improvements over time, we can maximize the benefit from the sales tax revenue.
Now, Ed, I've seen the question, and it's complicated, as often they are. It's all legalese, it's done correctly. But when someone walks into that voting booth, it might be a little bit overwhelming. We're here to simplify it a bit for them, but just some of your thoughts.
Well, you know, we have a sales tax that was passed for the pool renovations and our expansions of our pools, and also for Sunset Zoo and some enhancements there with some buildings and other things. And that tax is ready to sunset. And they've actually got more sales tax money than they had anticipated. So they've had excess funds to help with the parking lot at the zoo. And it's all been a very good thing. The idea was, why don't we just, as that sunsets, that tax, then let's put this tax in force now for the recreation and trails questions that we have. And so you're really not seeing any kind of increase in your sales tax. It will stay the same. The legalese verbiage of it does say it's a new tax, because I guess it is, but it's actually an extension of what we already have in place. So I thought it was an opportunity. And, you know, I'm like anybody else. I don't want a high sales tax. I don't think that's a good thing. But at the same time, if we can just extend what we're doing now, the pool thing was great. Our pools have been renovated. They are very wonderful, an amenity for the community. So now let's extend that and find what we can do with our recreation facilities. And I kind of go back If you look at the city of Manhattan and what we have in indoor recreation facilities, we are really lacking. And probably the reason for that is we've always kind of fed off of Kansas State University. And, you know, we'll go up and use the rec facilities and that sort of thing. Well, if you've tried to do that and you're a citizen now, it's pretty difficult. And you have to, I mean, the students have first right. And so those are their facilities. And I understand that. And it's probably time for the city of Manhattan to step up and have these kinds of recreation facilities for our citizens so that we can share in the good health aspects of these things and the opportunity for young people and all ages to expand in the recreation area.
Do want to remind our listeners, as always, phone lines are open if you want to enter into the discussion, 537-1350 or toll-free 866-776-1350. And speaking of the folks out there, Bruce, I mean, some of the things that you're hearing from members of the public, and I think there are still some folks, maybe some misconceptions out there too, but clarify a few of those.
Well, certainly Ed's talked about the sales tax being renewed and not a new one, but the legal requirements say it's new. Anyways, there's concerns about operating costs, and this is true when any times a city or the school district build a facility, what are the operational costs to run that facility over time? And so this, if you go to the city's website and look at this, it's estimated that about 75% of the cost of operating these facilities with city staff, et cetera, will be met through revenue that can come from rental of the facilities, special events and concessions, and so on. So there definitely is property tax impact associated with operating the facilities. And by staging the projects over the 10-year period, all of that won't come at one time either. It can be absorbed over time. So, you know, that's just the nature of it. If you have a facility, you have to operate it and staff it and run it. And we've seen that with the pools and zoo education facility. So these are things that we must accept if we want to have these kinds of quality facilities. If they were to be built by the school district instead of by the city, it would be 100% property tax for the entire cost of construction and everything else, including operation. So these being done by the city will be staffed by the city with support and cooperation with the school district. They already have an interlocal agreement between the school district and the city to accommodate the construction, operation, and use. And the city and the school district also have a longstanding shared use agreement that allows for each entity to program and use the other's facilities, and that will continue with this.
Let's take a phone call. Welcome to In Focus. Go ahead, please.
You have two great guests on this morning that have served the community well. My question is, are we getting the cart before the horse? Just the last couple of days been on the... Did I lose you?
Did we lose you? I'm sorry, it sounds like we lost him. I didn't catch the ending of what he had to say. Ed?
Well, yeah.
Something about the cart before the horse,
yes.
But I don't...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I go back... And you look at what we have for our community and recreation facilities, and it really is lacking. And if you recall back in 05, 06, Bruce and I were there, we had a rather large complex for recreation. And it was going to be located at Seco Park, one huge building. And it would accommodate all these indoor-type activities, including pools and you name it. We kind of let everybody whatever anybody wanted was going to go into that building. That was soundly defeated. And we learned from that. And I think what we learned, and it's what some other cities have done, is people like to have recreation facilities in their neighborhoods. And when they do have a neighborhood recreation facility, it becomes a part of their community. And they have ownership of it, and the kids can ride their bikes to the recreation center. We can walk. It has a lot of benefits to it. So that's why we looked at having these neighborhood indoor centers. And I think it'll super serve, because now we're looking at one in Northview, We're looking at one at Anthony, which is, I guess it used to be West Manhattan. It's not quite that west as it used to be, but it does serve the community geographically. And I think we've answered that question of where do we put one giant building or do we put these neighborhood centers in and really accommodate the geographical areas of the city.
Let's take another phone call. Go ahead, please. You're on air with us now. Would you go ahead, please?
Yeah, you have to charge it every once in a while. As I stated, you got two great guests there, and my question is, are we getting the cart before the horse? In as much as just on this radio station this week, we were talking about leading more schools, maybe turning the two middle schools into high schools and some switching around that way. I really feel that the district and the city really need to be bonded together. It's all taxpayer money from the same people, and I know you do cooperate. You got a lot of agreement, but before we do this, let's figure out what the school's going to do. Maybe those facilities need to be somewhere else. We all agree it's a growing community, and we need more recreation facilities. But are we moving in the right direction and doing the proper planning for the future, because the school thing is going to change. We know that.
I know there's been a lot of planning, really, but I'll let Bruce address that.
Well, I think that, to me, that was one of the key aspects of our steering committee request was we need the school district and the city to be working together on this from the get-go so that the plans jive together. And we know that, as Ed said, a large central facility, we couldn't site one in Manhattan effectively. There's just not a place for it. So taking advantage of school ground to build community recreation facilities that help meet school needs, space needs that have been identified in their facility study, I think we are at a point where we're dovetailing the needs of both in a joint partnership. And if the school district has additional facilities that they need in terms of accommodating classrooms and so on, that's an initiative that they'll have to carry forward and present to the voters. But I think this represents a good marriage of these two entities to have mutual benefits for the community, for the citizens, and for the school district as well.
Add your thoughts.
Yeah, while we were on the commission, it was always something we would strive towards was to be able to partner with other government entities. And we constantly would hear, well, they're going to go spend a bunch of money over here for this government project, and you're going to go spend a bunch of money over here. Well, this is an ideal situation because we're actually working with the school district. They're going to benefit from it because they're going to have, as you know, the middle schools have one gym. Whether they're a middle school with, 7th and 8th graders or 6th, 7th and 8th graders, wherever it goes, it's still going to be one gym in that building. And they need more than that. That's this not acceptable. So with this project, they'll be able to use that gym space. And we'll actually, what we'll have is be able to separate the gym floors. And remember, these are multi-purpose buildings. It's not just a basketball court. It's multi-purpose. All kinds of entities will use it. But we can actually separate the different gym spaces there and the floor, and the school district can be using that for school programs during the school time. And then the public, which is one thing we always wanted to do as a high priority, was the public will be able to use these facilities as much as possible, because that's what it's for. It's for you. It's for me. We need to be able to have access to those facilities so that we can utilize them. So we'll have a marriage between the school district and the city, and I think we all come out ahead in that.
Real quickly, as we kind of get close to wrapping up, Bruce, anything else you're wanting to highlight for our folks today?
Well, I think we've covered on the key points. There'll be no daily or annual passes anticipated for these facilities. Significant rental from concessions, tournaments, and so on has been conservatively estimated as part of those operational costs. And again, it's... I've always tried to make decisions in the best long-term interests of the community, and I feel very strongly that that's exactly what this plan represents. Maximizes the sales tax revenue benefits, optimizes school district needs and city needs at joint use facilities that will really vault us forward in quality of life conditions and improvements for the city.
Ed, anything to add?
Yeah, you know, one thing we haven't touched on was the trails. And I really I think the trails are the golden nugget of this whole issue, because when we did our community survey a year and a half, 2 years ago, trails came right up to the top as far as what people wanted in the community. And this is an opportunity to expand our trail system. People love trails. They like to get out. They ride their bikes. You see baby strollers and the moms and dads. You see the walkers and the joggers. It's something that all of America, not just Manhattan, really has grasped onto as a way for, you know, getting outside for clean air and recreation. And so don't forget, we have $2 million in this to expand that trail system.
Well, thanks to both of you. Former Mayors Ed Klimak, Bruce Sneed with us today, of course, supporting the proposed City of Manhattan recreation and trail sales tax. And you've been you're listening to In Focus. We'll come back and talk some about Oktoberfest.
KMAN Morning News brought to you by Manhattan Appliance and Sleep Source, your appliance specialist, located in the West Loop Shop.